We jump in today into 3 weeks of what the Ramban refers to as the old Avelis. This is the old Avelis. We think of mourning. Tragic mourning usually is something fresh, something raw, an Avelis Chadasha. A person, Chas V'Sham, loses a relative, and the grief is real and it's raw, and you're mourning for the person that you lost. Whether it's Shiva or not, or whether it's a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt, you lose a relative and the grief is very natural and raw. And the halacha gives us structure for it. We begin today a period of 3 weeks of what the Ramban refers to as a different type of avelus, a different type of mourning, avelus yeshana, the old avelus. We're trying to mourn for something that happened an awful long time ago. We're trying to mourn for something that we never knew. I never really lived with the Beis HaMikdash. And so we have a buildup. We have, instead of in a natural type of immediate avelus chadasha, there's a loss of a relative, the avelus begins very powerfully and then gradually tapers. When there's an avelus yeshana, when we try every year to reconnect to the loss of Beis HaMikdash, avelus yeshana, we build up. So we begin with a gradual lower level of avelus over the course of 3 weeks, and then when Rosh Chodesh comes, it's going to become more intense. As Tisha B'Av comes closer and closer, we're going to continue to step it up. But this first, the truth is, the Mishnayos, part of this is halacha, and part of this is minhag. The Mishnayos tell us at the very end of Masechas Tanis that the halacha demands not only that we fast on Tisha B'Av and that we keep a significant amount of avelus on Tisha B'Av itself, but the Mishnayos talk about midrabbanan Chazal instituted a build-up over the course of the week. This year is a little different because Tisha B'Av is going to be on a Shabbos pushed off to Sunday. A typical week, typical year, Tisha B'Av is midweek, so the some degree of avelus already begins from the beginning of the week. Shavua Shechalbo, the week during which Tisha B'Av falls out. Ashkenazi minhag has it that we already start that not days before Tisha B'Av, but weeks before Tisha B'Av. A lower level of avelus begins already during 3 weeks. When Rosh Chodesh comes, we have 9 days of more intense avelus leading up to Tisha B'Av. Finally, Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av itself is the most intense avelus. During the 3 weeks, which begin today or began last night, so there's a minimum level of avelus. We don't take haircuts, we don't listen to music, or no dance, no parties. And how about shaving? There's another time of the year where the same question shows up, and that is during Sfira summer, exactly. I'm sure in this room, how many of you keep the avelus of Sfira from Pesach until Lag BaOmer, the first quote unquote first sphere? Okay. And then you keep from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until the end, second sphere? Okay. A few in the proud. Great. Good for you. Is your family from Germany? Where's your family from? Sorry? Lithuania. Fascinating. Okay. But did anyone have any other minhagim? Anyone keep avails during all the sphere?
The day after?
So Sfaradim often keep right until the Shulchan Aruch says up until Lag BaOmer. The day after Lag BaOmer. Any other versions? Whole sphere. Fantastic. So all sorts of, a host of different variations on the minhag of avelus during Sfira Somer. Sfira Somer itself is supposed to be a happy time. The mitzvah of Sfira Somer is Kentra Pesach to Shavuos. A Chol HaMoed, Rabban writes, that connects Pesach to Shavuos. But because of various, historically, various tragic events that happened to us in our history during that time of the year, there was the loss of the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva, which probably corresponds to the bloody Roman put down of what had been an optimistic revolt under Bar Kokhba, and then since that's almost 2,000 years ago, then 800-900 years ago, the Crusades rampaged and pillaged Jewish Europe during the time of Sfira as well. So we have Minhagim Avelus during Sfira also, and the Avelus of Sfira is very akin to the Ashkenazi Avelus during 3 weeks. No haircuts, no simcha, no music, no dancing, no gay men. In both cases, what's the deal with shaving? So you've probably seen Maybe you've noticed it more during Sfiras HaOmer because it's longer than 3 weeks. I imagine you've seen probably three different versions of Sfiras. No, yes, and sort of. Three logical possibilities. You've seen people who don't shave, just like they don't take haircut, they don't shave during throughout the weeks of Sfiras, again, however many weeks that is, 4 or 5 weeks, 7 weeks. You've seen people who don't shave throughout the 3 weeks of Avelus of Bein HaMetzarim. These 3 weeks from Shivas Batamas through Tishva. You've probably seen people who do shave, and then maybe you've seen people who shave for Shabbos. So, what's with all of these three variations? Where do they come from? And what else do they teach us beyond just whether you're going to be scruffy for the next couple of weeks or not? And if you're going to take the approach of shaving during Sfiras HaOmer and during 3 weeks, so are there any details to know? So let's explore all of that. Where did the Minhagim come from? How they're supposed to be done properly? And what they're supposed to tell us? Let's explore all of those three questions over the next little while. So there is a minhag. Again, the as we said before, in terms of 3 weeks, the din requires avelos during Shavuos Shechalbo, midrabanan, can't take a haircut during the week of Tisha B'Av. Ashkenazi minhag has us not taking a haircut, for those who are Ashkenazim, has us not taking a haircut throughout the 3 weeks. A minhag of both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim has us not taking a haircut for some chunk of Sfiras HaOmer. Beginning, end, middle, whatever it is. How about shaving? So often you say, well, shaving is cutting your hair. You're not cutting your hair in your head, you're cutting your hair in your face. It's all the same. The default should be, if you can't take a haircut, you can't shave either. Number one, so that's simple. There are those who don't shave whatsoever. You don't take a haircut, you don't shave. Caution. Version number one. Version number two is the middle position, that you don't shave except Erev Shabbos. Where does that come from? So when you recognize as follows, that both of these are mitah minhag, the not taking a haircut during Sfiras HaOmer, the not taking a haircut during the 3 weeks, are both mitah minhag. They're not meek, not din d'oraisa, not din d'rabban. They're both mitah minhag. There are those who assume that we're mechuyev to, we're mechuyev to keep the minhag. Minhagim aren't just optional. Minhagim are obligatory if you're bound by that minhag. But at the same time, there is a hierarchy of halachic obligations, and how obligation based on a minhag is not the same as an obligation midrabanan or mina Torah. So if you have an obligation mitam minhag to not shave, but you have an obligation ikar adin of kavod Shabbos, if I'm going to walk into Shabbos scruffy, so there are poskim who argue that's a violation of Kavod Shabbos, and the halacha of Kavod Shabbos should, in a conflict between Kavod Shabbos and Avelos, if the Avelos is only mitam minhag, as it is during 3 weeks in Sfiras HaOmer, so maybe the halacha of Kavod Shabbos should overwhelm and overpower the Avelos of Sfir over the 3 weeks. So that's why there are those who say, all week long, you don't shave, but comes the Erev Shabbos, and I was your age, I was in a different learning camp in the Catskills called Arshaga, the mix of Litvish and Chassidish Shabachim. I loved the diversity. So there's a friend of mine, Chassidish Shabacher, who told me that there was a Jew who once came. I'm not sure how to fully make sense of the story, but the point you'll get. There was a Jew who came to the Satmar Rebbe, and he said to Satmar Rebbe that for work, this fellow needs to shave once a week, but he gets to choose which day of the week he gets to shave. I'm not sure how that's possible. You have a meeting on Tuesday. Anyway, you have to shave once, so you got to choose which day of the week he should shave. So you ask the Rebbe, which day of the week should he shave? Not Sfir, stop. In the month of Tavis. So what would you, which day of the week would you have said? Right. So the Satmar Rebbe said about blinking an eye, obviously, Motzei Shabbos. Said, yeah. Because that way, by the time next Friday comes around, we have a little bit of Kavod Shabbos on the face. So Rebbe was assuming that obviously it's more mechubadik to have a beard, and to be clean-shaven is a terrible lack of Kavod Shabbos. Not all Jews make that assumption. To have a beard is mechubad, but to have a week of scruff on your face, if you're not the Satmar Rebbe, you might argue it's more mechubadik to be clean shaven, either be clean shaven or to have a nice beard, but not to be sort of betwixt in between. So that's why many posts can argue, again, as I said before. Sheet number one is, if you're not taking haircut, you're not shaving, period, nikuda. Okay. Sheet number two, if you're not taking haircut, you're not shaving. But if it's only mitam minhag, then when Erev Shabbos comes around, you should shave. She'll come to Shabbos looking mechubadik. As a matter of fact, if you go back to those Mishnais at the end of Tanis, even the dinim of Shavuot Shachalbo, the Mishnais say sometimes they take a back seat to cover Shabbos. Mishnah has a hypothetical, it's no longer relevant with Zman Hazeh. If Tisha B'Av fell out on a Friday, which can't happen under our calendar, which only was instituted after the Mishnais were written, if Tisha B'Av fell out on a Friday, Mishnah say you'll be allowed to do laundry on Thursday, so you'll have clean clothes for Shabbos. Even that Shavuot Shachalbo. So certainly, if it's only mitam minug, there's a good argument to be made, you should shave on Friday. Okay. But some of us, myself included, are going to start shaving later this week. Daily, throughout the 3 weeks. Up until Rosh Chodesh Av. Where on earth does that come from? It's not Kavod Shabbos, not taking a haircut, so ma pesher hadvar. So this approach is the approach of Soloveitchik, and it's based on the following broader principle. This is like one little detail about do you shave, you don't shave, but really it's like you pull a thread and you come to something much bigger. It speaks to a broader understanding of how halacha works. A recognition that the Gemara tells Maseches Beitzah, an important principle to know when you're learning almost any Masech. And that is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'ein Daraisa Tikkun. When Chazal, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a Chumash, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a Torah Shabbat and a Torah Shabbat Peh, he gave us 613 mitzvahs, all the dinim daraisa. And Kodesh Baruch Hu also told us in his Chumash that he's empowering the Chachamim in later generations to continue to legislate. Not only to interpret and to explore and to discover, understand the dinim daraisa as a later in the Chumash, but also to invent and legislate new dinim drabbanim. We know about that. Chanukah is midrabanan, and Tzil Sedaim is midrabanan, and Megillas Esther is midrabanan, and Isra of Muktzah is midrabanan. Oh, we know about thousands, hundreds, thousands of Dinim Drabanan, mostly instituted to protect the Dinim Daraisa, some instituted for other reasons. All those are created, legislated, invented. Dinim Drabanan are invented by the Rabbanan based on the power, the authority given to them by the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Chumash. So you have Dinim Daraisa, Sukkim dinim in the Chumash, interpretation of the Chumash, and we have dinim drabanan. So when the Chachamim invent new dinim drabanan, what rules do they have? Is it just it's a free country? Do whatever you want. They blank check. Chachamim can institute any dinim drabanan they want for any reason in any way. No. Number one, they have their power is only for the right for specific purposes, like protecting the Raisa, and there's more. Even if they have a good reason to make a Din Rabbanan, there are also guidelines about how you design them. One of the primary guidelines is called Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en Daraisa Tikkun. But Chazal instituted Din Rabbanan as much as possible, they're going to try to pattern it after Din Daraisa. For instance, they make Chum Shabbos, they say you can't walk more than 2,000 amos outside, around 3/4 of a mile or so, 2/3 of a mile. Outside of your town, most how many people here live in a big metropolitan area? Chicago, LA, New York, Denver, Houston. How many people here live in a small town that's not even a suburb? Not even a suburb? Anyone live rural? Mamash, no one. So when you live in a big city or in a suburb that directly connects to a big city, your tchum is like miles long. You only start counting the tchum after you leave the city. If you live in Beit Meir, which is it's 20 minutes out of Yerushalayim, but it doesn't connect directly to any other town. If you get to the edge of Beit Meir, you're at the edge of the town. You don't cross another block into another town. So if you're in Beit Meir for Shabbos, there's a tchum Shabbos. Very clear tchum Shabbos. You get to the Beit Meir, you can walk another 2,000 amos, then you gotta stop. 10, 15 minutes, and then you gotta stop. Turn back. You can't walk more than 2,000 miles out of town. But then drop on them. Where did they get that from?
The truth is 2,000 amos is a din that appears in the Chumash. In a different context. The rules of the cities of the Levium. There were rules for how you, the urban planning, how you build the cities of the Levium. And even rules for the 2,000 amos around the town. So you see already on a Doraisa level that 2,000 amos around the town has the identity of the town. So they took that idea of 2,000 amos neighborhood of the town when they were inventing the new Tchum, they didn't say 1,500 amos, they said 3,000 amos. They took a pre-existing Doraisa pattern. We found in the Chumash the notion and the concept of 2,000 amos around the town. We'll use that for our Din Rabbanan as well. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan to Ein Doraisa Tikkun. Because the Chumar created Din Rabbanan, they'll use patterns, concepts ready to appear in Doraisa. Now you let you and I, that what we've said so far is a Gemara. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan to Ein Doraisa Tikkun. Now let you and I discover, take that idea with the Rav, another side. They're just like the Drabanans are patterned after the Raisas, and what that does is it creates one sense of a halachic system. He said you get the impression as you study halacha that's true for Minhagim as well. The Rav pointed out that the Vilna Gaon, the Gura, seems to stress this especially, that Minhagi Yisrael, valid, meaningful Minhagi Yisrael, tend to be patterned after Dinim, whether Dinim Daraisa, Dinim Drabanan, but Minhagim tend to have halachic patterns. It's not just random, here's the minute, it's usually something modeled after, similar to halachic patterns. And here's an example, our example, our topic. We've been talking for the last little while about Avelos. National Avelos during Sfira Saomer, national Avelos during 3 weeks, during the 9 days, which we said Mitam Minha. Right? We say, look at Mishnayos and Tanis, they tell you the halachic requirement of Avelos for Tishra only begins during the week of Tishra, Shavua Shachal Bo Tishra, the week during which Tishra falls out. 3 weeks, 9 days, and Sfira Saomer earlier, those are all Minhagim. Minhagim of Avelos, but where do they come from? How are they designed? This random, don't do this, don't do that. Where do the rules come from? So the truth is, over the course of the upcoming 3 weeks, because the Mikdash is not built between now and Tisha B'Av, we're going to experience three levels of Avelos. The weakest level, just not taking haircut and not enjoying music and dancing and weddings and so forth, that's all 3 weeks in the Ashkenazi mission. That's the weakest level. We're going to get to Rosh Chodesh, it's going to level up. We're going to be restricted in terms of laundry and some other things, a higher level of it. It's sort of like the mid-level. The beginner's level is 3 weeks. The medium, intermediate level is the 9 days. And then the highest level of it is on Tisha B'Av itself. The Brisker Rav points out in Sefer Rambam that the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av itself is a combination of Avelos of Shiva, the highest level of Avelos, and the fast day. And when a person is in Avelos for Elder, you know, fast, so Tisha B'Av is sort of a mix of Yom Kippur and Shiva. Funny mix of Akanis and the highest level of Avelos. The Rav suggests that we have two lower levels of Avelos, Mitam Minhag, 9 days and 3 weeks, and they probably correspond, and I just range them, they correspond to halachic levels of Avelos. When the halacha mandates, the halacha requires Avelos, Rachman Atzlan, a Jew loses a relative, so there are three levels of Avelos. The most intense Avelos is during the week that follows the burial of the relative, it's Shiva. That's when you don't bathe normally, you don't sit in a normal chair, and so on and so forth. And that's the most intense level of Avelos. People don't go around visiting, basically your house, maybe meet you up to shul. That's Shiva, those first 7 days. Then for the rest of the first month, is Shlosh. 30 days of a somewhat weaker Avelos, still limited in terms of laundry, and so on, et cetera, so on and so forth. And then finally, if a person lost a parent, so then you have the weakest level of Avelos is for the entire rest of the first year. Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months. The first 12 months, even beyond Shloshim, if a Jew lost a sibling, a spouse, the Avelos ends at the end of Shloshim. You don't get a haircut. Emotionally, the loss is real. the halacha doesn't mandate any further avails after shloshim. If you have a person lost a parent, then the avails continues for the next year. Throughout your Beit Chodesh, you're still not going to be going to weddings, not going to be enjoying music, and the iser of taking a haircut also for a Jew who lost a relative who had this weakest love, Beit Chodesh, you continue to not get a haircut even after shloshim. Okay? So you have three levels of halachic avails. It comes in 3 degrees. High, medium, and low. High is shiva. Medium is 30 days, shloshim. And the weakest for someone lost a parent, Beit Chodesh, the first 12 months, the first year. So Rav suggested, well, we have three levels of avails, even though the only three levels become minhag, the minhag probably corresponds to the halachic categories. So probably, the din requires avails of shiva on Tisha B'Av. 9 days is like shloshim, weaker, and 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh, the weakest. Okay, so what we have entered into today is the weakest level of avails, the avails of Yud Beis Chodesh. And it corresponds, because it's an issur of taking the haircut, it's an issur of simcha, music and dancing and weddings and so on and so forth. That's 3 weeks. That's Sefiras HaOmer. So the minhag avails of Sefiras HaOmer, the minhag avails of 3 weeks, corresponds to the din of avails of Yud Beis Chodesh. So far, so good. Questions? Some of you might be bothered by a logical question. First, it's a question: is anything not clear? Let me just like the question of understanding, and then like first question of understanding after you hit me with a question. A question of understanding? Like it just didn't make sense. What's your name?
Abraham, wait, so you don't get a haircut at all after your parent dies?
Oh, Abraham asked a great question. He says, 1 second. And maybe I've heard that a person who lost a parent doesn't go to weddings for the first 12 months. You don't listen to music for the first 12 months. That I've heard of. But not get a haircut for the first 12 months? You would notice people walking around with ponytails. Who doesn't get a haircut for 12 months? Yeah, people say Kaddish for 11 months after he was a parent. They don't know. Initially, they look a little scruffy. You never
used to. 11 months of 12 months of long hair?
Lower right hand. Great question. Is that what you're going to ask? What's your answer?
I think I have answered that, but also I have another question.
Okay, what's your answer?
I think, like, I heard that, like, you're not supposed to get a haircut, but it gets to the point where your friend would tell you, like, you have to get a haircut.
Very good. Our Chachamim tell us that when it comes to the issur of getting a haircut during 12 months, it's not the full 12 months. It's you can't take a haircut the day after shloshim. You have to wait until you're overgrown, and that's the time it will take for someone to say, "Hey, pal, like, you're really looking scruffy." Most posters, some of the people think that they're doing you a favor by saying that. Most posters assume you don't actually. No one has to actually say that. It's just a way of saying around twice as long as you usually go between haircuts. So in a society such as ours, where people usually take haircuts every month, so it means you're going to wait 2 months before they have it. In a society such as that of Sulfan Arif, where people take haircut every month and a half, so it would be 3 months. Whatever it is, around twice as long. Great. Yes, and you had a question. What's your name, brother?
Shia,
yeah.
I think the question is that, like, in terms of avilus, it goes from like the most to slightly less, but like 3 weeks is like less, and then it gets
worse. So Shai makes it Shai, right?
Yeah.
Shai makes a good point that you think about the Rav's saying that this parallel avails of the 3 weeks, 9 days Tisha B'Av, parallel Shiva, Shloshim Beis Chodesh. Shai says, hey, 1 second. But the order is reversed. Very good question. So the answer to that, such a good question, your name is Shai, maybe we should call you Moshe. Because the Ramban, I mean, Moshe Bar Nachman, asked the same question. You were mechavin to Ramban. Ramban asked that question. How come, even after Rav's exact correspondence, it's clear that personal avelos start from the most intense and slowly eases off halachically, while the avelos now starts soft and gets more and more intense. What are you going to say? Respond to that?
Yeah,
should
have been
ordered.
The question is good,
then
why don't we
choose
the 3 weeks after
the mission? Exactly. So why not do it? Exactly. What's your name?
Gershon.
Gershon. So Gershon's adding fuel to the fire of Shai's Kasha. Why not do it? If you're really trying to pattern after personal availus, it should be the same. start with Tishah, and then ease off. So the truth is, we started with a concept that the Ramban uses to answer this question. Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, please. Sorry? The Star of Iran, what's your name? Edo, right?
Edo.
Edo says, okay. So number one, Edo says, historical reality, the Shivas Batamas today, yesterday, commemorates the breaking through the enemy armies piercing through into the wall of Yerushalayim, which happened 3 weeks before the destruction of the Mikdash. And that's right. And that captures something else as well. It's an historical reality. Ramban says, when Rachmana Litzlan, Chas v'Shalom, a Jew loses a relative, the grief is natural and automatic. You don't need to, if Reuven loses a relative, you don't need to tell Reuven, oh, by the way, you should feel sad. In most normal, healthy situations, when Reuven loses a relative, he feels plenty sad without anyone telling him to. The grief is natural. The grief is automatic. The halacha gives us a structure for experiencing that grief, which gradually eases off. That's what we call avelos chadasha, new avelos. It's a fresh, it just happened. Now we're getting into avelos yeshana, old avelos. We start by saying, Rabban says, we're entering the period of avelos, the old avelos. I mean, this is how you say, you don't say, this is historical. I don't naturally feel like I'm missing anything. This happened, the lost place on Mikdash almost 2,000 years ago. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents never saw this Mikdash. But a long time, the Jews say this Mikdash. So it's not automatic and natural that I'm going to feel that mistake. Ramban says, we need to cultivate it. You need to, you want to experience something over Tisha B'Av, you need to get it, you need a process to build up to it. Natural Avelos Chadasha, you build down. The start is natural. Avelos gives you the chance to ease away from it. But now, that does give you the chance to build up towards it. Avelos Yishan. Gevalt. Now let's take Avram's point, Shai's point, first point, and build it back in. Because we said that the Avelos of the 3 weeks, and Avelos of Sfira, corresponds to which Avelos in Halacha, which level, not Shiva, not Shloshim, but Yubes Chodesh. Very good. Right, Tisha B'Av is like Shiva, the most intense. 9 days is like Shloshim, medium intensity. And 3 weeks in Sfira is like Yubes Chodesh, least intense. Just an Isra of Simcha and an Isra of Tisporis. Isra of Simcha, of getting together, of parties and music and dancing, and Isra of haircuts, like Yubes Chodesh. So Avram and Shai just pointed out to us that during Yud Beis Chodesh, what type of Israel of haircuts? Only Ad Shigar Bo Chaver. It's not the entire 12 months. It's only until you've gone double as long as you usually do. You're getting scruffy. And at that point, you can take a haircut. And most posts can assume that once a Jew lost a parent, he waits an extra month or so, and then he takes a haircut. From that point on, he can take a haircut as often as he wants to. You don't keep waiting two, three months each time. You wait 2 months, you take a haircut, and then done. You're still not going to go to weddings or listen to music or dance, but the haircuts are over. The whole list of haircuts is gone. Oh. So if the Rav is right, if the Rav is correct that that Sfira, the Avelos of Sfira and the Avelos of 3 weeks corresponds to the Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh, so riddle me this. Why don't we hear in Shulchan Aruch that during Sfira, during 3 weeks, you don't take your haircut? Don't get take it until the guy tells you look overgrown. Why doesn't that appear in Shulchan Aruch? It appears in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya when they talk about veils for a relative. Why does it not appear in Aruch Chaim? We talk about 3 weeks, 9 days, and Sfira. Yeah. Bingo. What's your name? Avi gives the obvious and correct logical answer. William of Ockham would be proud. Avi says, it's not long enough. Even Sfira is not long enough. 3 weeks is, as the name indicates, 3 weeks long. Okay, 22 days, you want to be precise. All right. Sfira, we had different versions before. Who has how long? If you have
a sphere of 33 days, of 34 days, even of the whole sphere. You said that you don't, right? You said your found minig is from Pesach until up until right before Shavuos. Even that is not even 2 months long. So as AB says, they don't talk about it because it never comes up. If Avelus of the 3 weeks was 3 months, then yeah, of course. We would go for 2 months without taking a haircut, and after 2 months we'd take a haircut. But it's not long enough, so it's it doesn't come up because it's irrelevant. That's the way it was until a couple of decades ago. Because, maybe a century ago. Until a century ago, people took haircuts once a month, once every month and a half. Even took a haircut once every 3 weeks. Still, this could be irrelevant. How about facial hair? So I think there have always been, that's the pressure you get from the Gemara, there have always been Jews who had beards and Jews who shaved. Or I should say, Jews who had beards, Jews who let their beards grow. Wow. And Jews who cut their beards. But until maybe a century ago, there was no way to be clean shaven every single day. Because essentially, because the Pasuk tells us, and the Sugi and Makas expands at the end of the third parak, it's an Issa Daraisa for a Jew to shave his face with a razor. You're allowed to cut your beard with scissors, and you're allowed to remove your beard with chemicals, with depilatory cream. So for many, 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 many centuries, a Jew, if he wanted to, could have a close-trimmed beard with scissors, or you could, if you really want to be clean-shaven, you could put on this chemical cream, the Sam, and you leave it on for a few minutes, you rub it off, scrape it off, and all the hair dries up, all the hair comes off. But that stuff is very, very powerful. If you use it every single day, I think sooner or later, like your skin starts to erode. It does the job, it ain't pleasant. So until maybe a century ago, it wasn't really practical for a Jew, a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, to be clean-shaven every single day. Scissors aren't going to give you mamash a clean shave. Trim maybe once or twice a week. And cream, again, vast majority of people are not putting on cream every single day. A razor is an issa d'oraisa. Until the invention of the electric shaver. With the invention of the electric shaver, so most posts can assume that electric shavers are mutter to use. Most posts can assume that electric shavers are not a violation of shaving the razor. So now it's very simple for a frum Jew to be clean shaven. Use electric shaver and shave every day. Oh, what does that now change? How long is Achi Garbo Chaderov? We said you could look scruffy and your head hair double the time you normally go between haircuts. That's after 2-3 months, which you said 3 weeks, 3 years old, is irrelevant. Oh, but once it comes to shaving your face, and now it's no one in your day in Hilchos Avelos, Halachic Avelos, for a Jew who lost a parent, the post can say, if you have a beard, you have a beard. You don't shave every day. You trim it every once in a while. But if you're clean shaven, so within 2-3 days, you look around. So for some of you, your beard's still getting ready to grow in. Some of you are in process. Some of you, it's already full strength. It's all good. Everyone grows up at a different point in time. Totally fine. For those who are ready shaving daily, or even every other day, so it's been since Friday. You shaved on Friday, you're already feeling a little scruffy. For some of you, it'll take another couple of days to get there. Okay. So post can say, Bizman Azeh, for a Jew who has a beard, who trims it every couple of weeks, so Ajigar Bochader is going to be a month or two. For a Jew who shaves every day, so Ajigar Bochader is 2-3 days. So for the first 2-3 days of Svira, or of the 3 weeks, according to this approach, this third approach, they have to let it grow. Then beyond the first 2-3 days, I can't take a head haircut, so that's still in good shape. But my face is scruffy, I have the right to shave. This is the Rav's idea. Again, working off of, as we said before, this detail of shaving during Svira, during 3 weeks, is built on a much larger perspective, saying before, that the halachic system is a whole system that fits together. And the din drabban apparently after the din daraisa. And the minhagim apparently after the dinim. And so the minhagim of avails of Svira and of 3 weeks aren't just random, oh, don't take a haircut. No, it means don't take a haircut the same way you don't take a haircut during Yud Beis Chodesh, which is Achi Garbo Chaderov, which for your head hair means wait 2-3 months. You're not getting there during Svira during 3 weeks. But if you shave every day, then Achi Garbo Chaderov as an Avel also would be after 2-3 days, you're ready to shave. So during that, you're gonna get there during the 3 weeks and during Tzvira. So that's what we said. As we said before, the one approach is don't shave at all. Shaving the same as haircuts. No shaving throughout. Whenever you have minhaget, whenever you're keeping minhaget available, so Tzvira and 3 weeks. The second approach is no, shave is included, not take a haircut. But since the primal cup of Shabbos, so you can shave for Erev Shabbos. And the third approach is that of the Rav, that you can shave during 3 weeks, every day. You can shave consistently during Tzvira, with, now that we see where it comes from, with the following two qualifications. Number one, you got to wait a few days. And again, depending on how often you're shaving, depending on how old you are, how often you're shaving. If you're at the point you're only shaving once a week, so you're going to have to wait 2 weeks. Okay. At the point you're shaving twice a week, so after a week you can shave. At the point you're shaving every day, so after 2-3 days, you have the capacity to shave. And to, again, at that, after that point, to shave every day if you like. That's qualification number one. You got to wait. Achigar bochaveira. The qualification number two is on the, that's on the start. On the end, you end at Rosh Chodesh Av. Because we said before, 9 days already is equivalent of which level of shiv of avelus. The medium level of Shloshim. Shloshim, right, there's no din of Achigar Bracha there. Shloshim is an absolute issur of taking a haircut. So that's why this approach would say that during Sfira, after the first couple of days, you could shave every day through Sfira. During 3 weeks, after the first couple of days, you could shave every day up until Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av and on, this does not give you any liberty any more than any other approach. This, by the way, I should stress, is independent. Some of you here, some posts we make for business purposes. A fellow has a business meeting, it's going to go, the meeting is going to go south if he shows up looking scruffy. That's a separate issue. This is not for work purposes. This is stamazan. The minhag yaveilus don't apply beyond Achigar Bachar. I would love to take questions, and then maybe we'll have a few minutes to sort of wrap up in a larger sense as well. You've been waiting, and you've been waiting. Remind what your name is.
Gershon,
yeah. Correct.
I shave every month, right?
It's a good question. If you're already backed up, I'm not sure. It could be that the previous month before the veil will count also. The guy was really due for a haircut when he lost his relative, and then he had a month of Shloshim. It could be that that counts. Yeah. Yeah. What's your name? Yoni. Yeah.
Very good point.
Yoni's asking how much of what we spoke, we saw three shitos about shaving during 3 weeks, how much does that map back in? So here's the thing, you cannot shave every Erev Shabbos during your Beis Chodesh. The reason there is because Avelos during your Beis Chodesh is, that's not Minhag, that is Mikra Adin. That's a real Din Drabanan. So when Chazal Masakin, I take a haircut during, what's it called? During your Beis Chodesh, so that was with the understanding that despite the fact you're going to violate a couple of Shabbos. But that's a din drabanan, a din versus a din. Here it's a din versus a minhag. That's the difference. Yeah, good, very good question. Remind me again, Ariel, yes.
I know that in Yeshiva's Chafetz Chaim in Queens, they shave, almost everybody shaves every Friday. Do you know where that's from?
I think Chafetz Chaim follows what I've been describing as the middle approach.
Yeah, and also
the minhag does require you to not shave, but Kavod Shabbos overrides it. Suffolk daraisa l'chumra comes to shavers. That's really beyond. It's going. But I will say briefly. To get fully into the sugya of shavers, that's really a whole different direction, a whole different topic. Let me say this. Suffolk daraisa l'chumra is a rule that when you don't know what the din is on the level of daraisa, you have to be machmir. But we don't throw out all of Shulchan Aruch and just say Suffolk daraisa l'chumra. In other words, we have halacha, in various areas of halacha, there's discussion, there's sugis in each area, for each mitzvah, in each area of halacha, and there are often machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas Rishonim, and we figure out how we pass them. Every once in a while, every once in a long while, you have an unresolved suffix, And then as a last resort, we say, if there's no way to resolve that, we say, Safek Dareis L'Chumra. But Safek Dareis L'Chumra is not our first reaction, it's our last reaction. So, otherwise Shulchan Aruch would be very short. Right? So there is, as in any other area of halacha, in the mitzvah of not kind of Pa'as HaZakan, Simen Kuf Pei Aleph in Yeredeya, there's a sugya. There's a sugya in Demakos and elsewhere. We showed him Shulchan Aruch to discuss what's included, what's not included. So if after learning the sugya, we'd be left with an open suffix, we have no idea how to classify electric shaver, then we would say suffix Dareis L'Chumra. But if post them, look at it, and you say, look at the sugya, we look at, and we come out, we know what it is. It clearly fits to this category, and that's mutter. That's mutter. So that's the outlines of the answer. Yeah, Ezra. That's a great question. Ezra Stolman raises a great question. Does the middle approach apply during the 9 days? So maybe during the 9 days, I can't shave every day, maybe I should shave Erev Shabbos. So when I first laid eyes on Rabbi Schechter in the spring of 92, I came to visit YU for the first time, checking it out. The first time I ever met him was he was giving shiur. The yeshiva was in Bav Metzia that year. He was giving a chazar shiur in Zev Nashach, and it was during Sfira, and he was clean shaven. That was the last year that he was. After that year, he started growing a beard, a short beard. Up until then, for the first 50 some odd years of his life, he was clean shaven. And he used to shave during 3 weeks and during Sfira. And I believe he did shave during, on Erev Shabbos Chazon as well. I believe so. I think among those who follow the Rav, so the question is, or those who follow the Chafetz Chaim approach, so I think some are still like, Erev Shabbos Chazon is a little scarier to make. Oh, I think some say, I mean, Chafetz Shabbos, you gotta shave. Others are wary of relying on Kavod Shabbos during the more serious 9 days. We have two sub approaches within that. Yeah, question. What's your name? Remind me your name, please. Yeah. Again, how? I'm sorry. Ah, you're in yeshiva. You're in yeshiva, or you're in Entis Vakolo. So no one's going to look down on you for being scruffy. Yeah, that's a good question. So I don't think that Adshi Garbo Chaverav is I don't think it's a conflict between the Avelos versus Kavod Abriyas, so Kavod Abriyas wins. I don't think that's how most poskim understand it. Certainly the poskim who say, as we assume, that once you hit the first Ashigar Baruch Haverev, you could just shave normally from that point on, I think it's usually assumed to not like it's a conflict between Kavod Abriyas and we're so embarrassed, you can make them Avelos. I think that's the sheer, when Chazal Masakin, Simcha, so there's a little bit of machlokes about that. Also, we assume when Chazal Masakin, the Isser Simcha was absolute throughout Yubis Chodesh. When Chazal Masakin, the Isser Tispos, they're only Masakin up until this is the Shir, but they're Masakin. And more than that, they're not Masakin. The other thing, you could imagine the other things which Shema veils also. You could have said you don't wear a certain color shirt because of veils. We don't make up new things, we do what Chazal Masakin. And that's what the Rav's point was, even the Minhag veils are based on what Chazal Masakin, their Masakin view. So I don't think it's I'm so embarrassed, I'm going to look foolish, that's why I can make it. I think even if I'm not, I'm just going to understand. That's number one. Number two, I'll go on a limb here a little bit. This is a dicey thing to say in a yeshiva context. But the nusach I heard B'Shem Ra'am Lichtenstein was that there's a chiv to look kempt. We've heard the word unkempt. For Ra'am, there's a word kempt. There's a chiv to look put together. Ha'yitachim. That a Jew, and certainly Ben Torah, should look together, should look neat, should look put together. Certainly when you daven, when you learn, that's a din. You show up to tefillah, at Simon Tzadi Alf in Aruch Chaim, a Jew is supposed to look put together, tuck in your shirt, put yourself together, dress like you're about to meet the king, because you are about to meet the king. But throughout the day, a Jew dresses with self-dignity. A Jew grooms himself with self-dignity. Different societies, different cultures may have different conceptions of what looks dignified. But that a Jew is supposed to look dignified, and particularly a Ben Torah, Parakei of Hilchos Deis, the Jew represents Torah, supposed to look put together and dignified. So that's universal. So it's forget about sphere, forget about 3 weeks, a random week in the month of Cheshvan or the month of Shvat. So there are many issues. Hypothetically speaking, could be you know a guy who has a friend who has a brother who doesn't shave every single day, even though he really should. We're not even going to talk about hygiene. But I would recommend, without getting into details, I would recommend for any human being, for any Jew, certainly for any Ben Torah, that you should be put together in old. Should always look put together. Should be well groomed. Don't go coast to coast on the showers. Don't go coast to coast on the shaving. All year long, the Jews should be put together. You know, this is radical for, so you might have a brother, has a cousin, etc., who's in yeshiva where not every bacher is always tip-top shape every single day, but it's something to keep in mind. So, to bechlal, it's a value. That's what Gemara says. The Gemara says, you know, for us taking a shower is like 1, 2, 3. It's the easiest thing because we take indoor plumbing and hot water for granted. But 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, taking a shower is a big deal. You have to go to the bathhouse, like a whole enterprise. Like spend an hour going to the bathhouse, ta 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 ta. Don't just jump into the shower, you're out 3 minutes later. After the game, before supper, it used to be a big deal. To go to the merchat, like indoor plumbing. And the Gemara says, the Hillel, one of the greatest Tzaddikim Chachamim of all time. Hillel, as of Beis Hillel. Hillel, the Talmidim see him on a random day going to the bathhouse. But there's a towel over his shoulder. They say, Reb, what are you doing? You spend an hour taking a bath, taking a shower? He says, yeah. I bathe every day. It was not a given back in the old days that people bathed every day. Kol Pol Hashem L'maneh. I respect God gave me my body as a tool to do his mitzvahs. God gave my body as a tool to work for him. I respect the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. I take good care of the tools. I'm going to respect my body. That has to do with how you eat and how you exercise. Has to do with what you put in your body, what you chalila never ever put in your body. It also has to do with hygiene and grooming. A Jew is supposed to be put together. And even during the 3 weeks, and even during Sfira, and even during Beis Chodesh, you got to figure out when you take care of it and when not. The halacha says not, then you don't. Rav Halacha says you do. Ideally, a Jew should look put together. One or two more questions, then we'll wrap up. Yeah. Remind me your name. I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. Shia, thank you.
Are we applying the rule that, like, you can wait until your friend tells you, like, it's not good, like, from your hair to your beard? Aren't they separate things?
Exactly. Because they're separate things, there might be a different shear for your head and for your beard. One could argue with the Rav by saying there's a single shear of Tisporis. It's the same as sir, and your beard is not much to cut until your head hair is much to cut. One could have argued that way. The Rav assumed that there are other posts already earlier in the Rav who had this discussion in the context of Yudbeis Chodesh. That once electric chairs became common, their posting was said. Okay, so from this point on, here you have a guy who doesn't take a haircut every day, but he does take a shave every day, so he can't take a haircut for 2 months, but he could take a shave as soon as Shloshim is over.
This is different from the
Sfiras
HaOmer, too?
Sfiras HaOmer is the same as 3 weeks.
Oh, so like
after the first couple of days, you can shave every day, according to Rav. Yes, absolutely. Not just for Shabbos, not just for work. Yeah, Avram.
So
one last question.
So continuing what he was asking from before, does that mean like if you got like a haircut, I don't know, 25 days before Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz, you were just really busy, you completely forgot. But not 25 days actually. But
it's gonna be hard to work it out.
But like, and then for some reason you couldn't get it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You
haven't taken a haircut in 2 months. It's already been 2 months since you took a haircut. And then Shavuot Batamos rolls in. And you didn't do your achronos in advance. You didn't get a haircut. Now you're ready. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what you're asking before. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I think some are Mekel. I'm not sure. I want to wrap up the last couple minutes by telling you a bizarre story. We've been dealing a lot with the details, practical relevant details, of Avelos Yishana, the old Avelos,
halacha lamaisa to rabbis. Not one took the halacha, what you should actually do tomorrow. So what you should do tomorrow, I will tell you what any responsible high school rabbi should tell you about a machlokes and a rabbi. Any responsible high school rabbi should tell you, you should be asking your family's posting. There's a legitimate machlokes a posting here. It's not for me to posting your child's for you, unless your family asks their child to me. And any responsible high school rabbi will tell you, if there's a legitimate machlokes a posting, the real machlokes a posting with different folks have different approaches. You should be, if your family has a post-it, that's the ideal. You should be asking your family post-it. Looking around, I think I know who some of your family's post-it are. I do not know who most of your family's post-it are. So you should reach out and find out. What's your family practice? What's your family post-it say? And that's it. But you should be aware, the shear is important to understand the basis for all three opinions. You see, there are three legitimate opinion post-it. Different posts have different approaches. I love what I say, you have to follow your local qualified Orthodox rabbi. Think about the Rosh Kaves of that. Wait, that's wrap up number one. Al derech halacha, halacha maisa, that's wrap up number one. Al derech hashkafa, al derech machshava. Ba'agada, wrap up number two. Let's take a step back for a moment. So what we've been discussing in the last 40-45 minutes or so has been some of the, a little bit, one corner, one intriguing corner of the details of Avelus Yishana. Of the old Avelus. We were discussing before, Avram Shai, the whole family being involved, Rav Shem Gun, that the Avelus Yishana is Shai, it's structured differently. And it's not Avelus Chadasha. We need to build up. I want to leave you with the following story from the Gemara, a bizarre story, highlighted by Chaim Friedlander in the Sefer Sifsecha. It happens to be a beautiful Sefer of Hashkafa, Machshava, and Avagada, a Yom Tov. Fantastic. Sukkot and Agada about the Yom Tov, and me and other bodies love the first few Yom Tov. And he points to the fine Gemara in Parak HaKodesh. How many people here ever learned the Sanctus of Kama? Give me a hand, give me a finger, Rav Kama develops. How do you learn the sixth Parak of Kama, Parak HaKodesh? Some of you may have gone deep enough to Daf Nun Tes, the last two words of the Tes of Rav, wrap it up to the Tes of it. We want to tell the story of a tzaddik, Kama Chav, his name is Eliezer Ze'ira. One of the Amoram, Eliezer Ze'ira is Eliezer HaKatan. Ze'ir is Aramaic for Katan. Eliezer Klein. That was his name? Eliezer Ze'ira. Eliezer the small, Eliezer Klein. So this Amora, Eliezer Ze'ira, was thrown into jail by the Jewish police during the days of the Amora. Walking down the streets of Nahar Da'ah, which is one of the largest Jewish communities in Babel. So the site of one of the most important yeshivas in Jewish history. Shmuel was the founder of Yeshiva Nahar Da'ah. Rav Nachman was later the Rosh Yeshiva Nahar Da'ah. There was a yeshiva in our terminology, it sounds like it was a yeshiva yeshiva. And they focused on the Nash Mazik. Big Jewish community. Eliezer Ze'ira, Talmud Chacham, walking on the streets of Nahar Da'ah, he's arrested by the Jewish police. For what crime? The crime of wearing black shoes. Eliezer Ze'ira of Masai Masami Uchne. He's wearing black shoes, walking through the streets of Nahar Da'ah, and he's apprehended by the police of the Jewish government, the Reish Galusa, and they throw him to jail. What's the great Jewish crime of wearing black shoes? Huh? Oh, exactly, very good. What's your name? Ami. Bald guy, they arrested the city. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living in a culture where arrogance is a punishable crime? What's about that we're wearing black shoes? We're wearing black shoes is a sign of... Good. I am exactly... I'm showing Avelus of Yerushalayim. At the time, black shoes were not common. There was a discussion about the details of that. He's wearing black shoes in a way that was uncommon. It was a sign of mourning. Mourning for whom? His family was fine. He was mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. So they said to him, you think you're a chashiv enough person, you're a big enough tzaddik, that you're worthy of mourning through Yerushalayim? A balgaiva you are. Only big tzaddikim are on the madrega, the Gemara says, to be able to mourn Yerushalayim. Who are you? You're not Rav Nachman. You're not Shmuel. You're not big tzaddik. And you're parading around like you're such a big tzaddik that you are worthy of being Mesa'abu of Yerushalayim. A chutzpah, Baal Gaiva. In the Hargav, we put Baal Gaiva in jail. He's thrown into jail. And the Gemara, it's a fascinating Gemara. He has to prove to them, sort of awkward, he has to prove to them that he's a Talmud Chacham. They threw him to jail for being a Baal Gaiva. Ironically, he says, no, you're... this is appropriate for me. He said, well, prove it. He give him Bechina. He knows all these, he knows obscure demons. Okay, you're a big Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to be Mesa'abu Yerushalayim. It wasn't Gaiva, you're sorry for arresting you inappropriately, you're free to go. It's so bizarre. So I'm at first, like, it's almost humorous. Okay. Maybe that means we don't appreciate how corrosive arrogance is. And file this away for yourself. That when you're looking for a Rebbe, whether it's next year or the year after that, you're looking for a Rebbe for life, in the sense of the Rav of the community to which you're going to move. A Rebbe to whom you're going to attach yourself in the yeshiva. The Gemara says, you got to look for someone who's angelic. Otherwise, he's not a Rebbe for you. And one of the most significant pieces of that, you must find a Rebbe who is humble. A person who is into himself, who's self-promoting, who's arrogant, he may know a lot of Torah, he's not the Rebbe for you. Okay. Arrogance really matters. Humility is really important. Arrogance is, in the days of Nahar Da'ah, you were thrown into jail for the sin of arrogance. Wow. But let's circle back to us. Anything strike you as strange about this story today?
Yes.
What?
We're supposed to mourn Yerushalayim.
Yeah! So we all should be, we're all Baal, you're Baal Gaiva, I'm Baal Gaiva, he's a Baal Gaiva, he's a Baal Gaiva. We're all... What's going on? Everyone mourns for Yerushalayim. It's a Mishnah and Tainis, we said before. Mishnah is the end of Masechus Tainis. It's in Shulchan Aruch. Simon after Simon after Simon, all the halachas of the 3 weeks and 9 days lean up to Tisha B'Av. But only big tzaddikim, you have to know all of Shas to be Mesa'abu Yerushalayim. What do you say? Oh! Gevaldik. The 3 weeks are a different time. What does that mean? How are they a different time? You're right. So Chai Freelander suggests in Sif Sechaim, as you do, that this wasn't during the 3 weeks, this wasn't during the 9 days, this is a random Tuesday in the month of Cheshvan. A random Thursday in the month of Sivan. Only big tzaddikim are worthy of being Mesa'abu Yerushalayim all year long. So what changes now? What changes now? So Chaim Friedland suggests the following idea with which I leave you. Mashal mahadavar dome. Your phone. How many of you in Beit Meir, Shapiro, always get good reception? Give me a hand if you always get good reception. Wow. How many of you sometimes have good reception, sometimes don't get good reception at Beit Meir? Right. It's a common problem. Maybe some of you have secret spots where you go, or you have better SIM cards. So you'll appreciate this. You're talking to someone, especially a WhatsApp call, and then all of a sudden, like, you call him, he picks up, and then a minute later he's not there. What happened? Right, probably bad reception, right? Did he hang up on you? Is he insulting you? Is he dissing you? No, he's got disconnected. But let's say you're in the middle of your show line. Crystal clear reception. You make a phone call, and you call a guy. Say, hi, it's Chaim. He says, oh, hi. Quick. He hung up on you. Right? When there's bad reception, you don't know, is he not broadcasting, or just I'm not able to hear it. When I have good reception, I notice when he's down the other end of the wall. If I'm trying to listen, pick up my favorite radio station. So if I'm, you know, if I'm on the 95, I'm on 78. I'm on the 78 halfway between New York and Harrisburg. I'm on the 95 halfway between New York and Philadelphia. I'm on Highway 80 halfway between New York and San Francisco. Yeah, so then I tune to the station that I want, and I'm not hearing it. Yeah, maybe because it's bad reception. If I'm in the middle of town, and I tune to my favorite radio station, and it's silent, that means they're not working. When you have good reception, you notice when they hung up on you. When you have good reception, you notice that they're not broadcasting. What Chaim Friedlander suggests, as you're saying, You need to be a big Baal Madrega to notice that we're missing something. During the 3 weeks and 9 days in Tisha B'Av, we have better reception. We're more plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu such that we notice what's missing. We're more attuned to our, naturally, during this period that begins today, more attuned to our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we feel that there's something missing. I haven't seen my brother, I haven't seen my stepsister in half a year. He issues there, so I was in America, so of course we didn't talk so often. But if we see each other, we're together for a week, and something's, we're still not talking so fluidly, something's wrong, something needs to be fixed, something's missing in the relationship. We didn't see each other, we couldn't talk to each other, of course we didn't see each other. But when we're together, when we have the opportunity, we have greater access, and something's still off of the conversation, then I realize something in that relationship needs to be fixed. These 3 weeks are kind of available, ironically, because you're a time of greater closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Greater access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins today for the next 3 weeks through Tisha B'Av. It's a type of closeness that gives us greater clarity in what we're missing. We are tuned in. We do have good reception now, and he's not broadcasting the way we hope he would. And not just because they're static, because the relationship needs fixing. It's during these 3 weeks that you don't have to be a big tzaddik to notice. Every Jew is Eliezer Zeira during these 3 weeks. Every Jew is more tuned in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these 3 weeks. In a way that we notice that something's missing, it all is not well between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the same without Beis HaMikdash. It's not the same without a place to connect. It's not the same without Nevi'im. It's not the same without communication. During these 3 weeks, we have more access. We're more attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we can feel what we're missing and that we can work on rebuilding, which we will do our rebuilding. We look forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing his part of the rebuilding. And there's the Amen. Thank you so much. And have a healthy and meaningful time.